Having a relationship with Christ is nothing to be afraid of. And saying yes to His presence is something not to fear. But it's almost like when your mother or your loved one comes by to open up their arms and hug you. You might be cold and indifferent when they reach out for you. But when the arms wrap around you, things begin to change. God is in the business of change. He's looking to take what is your detriment and to exalt you through the sufferings that you're going through. Tonight I am exalted because I've been willing to be abased. I'm high and lifted up in Him because I've walked a few dark days clinging to His hand and trusting in God. This message is for some of you tonight that the Lord is dealing with concerning things that are going on, not just in your Christian life. I've never heard more in all my days turmoil in the workplace. It seems to be the new area that Satan is beginning to work in. Everybody seems to be highly unsatisfied with their work environment. Human resources has made it something that basically illegal to mention the name of God or a deity at all. Getting to a place where we talk about how drunk we were on the weekend. Get to a place where we talk about how much fun that we had going to this, going to that. People trying to influence you out of who you are. We go to churches nowadays that aren't that different than that. Take pride in what they post on Facebook. Take pride of the selfies they post on Instagram. Taking pride in self and finding no sight of God or substance of spirit within them. And I'm fearful of the generation that will be quick to fall when the wrath of God begins to move. We are the minority. There are many that say they know God, but there's going to be many that call out in the day of judgment, and God will not know them. There's a separation that has begun to take place in the past 10 years. Unfortunately, I've got to walk through part of it in wickedness. Fortunately, I've got to walk through part of it in righteousness. Even though we're working as fast as we can to see people saved and converted, it's not fast enough. Even if we all were making the best of efforts, it's not enough. We've got to be expedient to do the Lord's work. And I can't stress it to people enough that you can't let HR policy keep your mouth shut. That you can't let how your family believes strongly that God does not exist keep you silent. You can't let friends that have influenced you by their peer pressure and their mental oppression to keep you from testifying about who God is in you. When you read that the harvest is plentiful, the Bible says it in such a way that there are opportunities that are countless for you to reap the harvest that is before you. Yet we oftentimes see the church as the only place that has a garden. But I'm not looking for the harvest in the church. This should be a place where we're raising up a generation of harvesters. If you can't get strength in the church you're going to, go to a place where you can be filled in His presence, because those are the only places that I know that when I go back out into the world that I'm prepared for what is about me. Let's begin to read in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. I feel a boldness in the spirit, and I'm trying not to take off so fast because I want to make sure that I reach out to whom God has sent me for this night. How many of you by show of hands has read through the book of Ephesians before? Whether verse, chapter, or the entire book. So we all know and have experience in this book. So before we begin, I'm going to pray. And while you pray that the knowledge that we all have will come out and come forth through the Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have congregated this assembly together to hear your word. And God, we battle daily to be ready for this in and out of season time. And Lord, we stand before you a willing vessel to give forth your word. God, let us walk by your spirit and not by the flesh. And let us speak what will pierce the heart asunder and not just comfort the mind. God, I pray right now that we will abide in the truths of your word. That, Lord, that we'll line up to your word and become that generation that will pull them out of the fire. God, in the name of Jesus, we say all these things to be done in the church. Said amen. Amen. We're going to begin reading first chapter of Ephesians at the 15th verse. While you're thumbing your way there, I want to give you a little background on what we're about to read. Around the time of 60
to 62 A.D., Paul had been put under a house arrest. And as he had sought God, his heart began to overflow with thoughts and words to which he wanted to send out to multiple regions of the world. For God had showed him that there was becoming a division amongst the Jews and the Gentiles in that time. There was a separation that had begun to occur where those that had grew up by the law and felt like they had right inheritance to God did not want to associate themselves with those who did not have the inheritance. Paul, seeing this division in the middle of being in a prison-like state, opened up his heart and began to let the pen fall upon the page. The ink beginning to demonstrate the words that was in the depths of his spirit. We read that this is one of the letters that was delivered. I believe it was the third that was sent. He wrote letters to the church of Colossae, to the church of Philippi, and to Ephesus. And he wrote to Philemon. And we know of these books in the Bible as Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, and Philippians. These are letters that was wrote from a man that was in a place where he could have easily not wrote them and not give what God had given him. And there's many of you tonight that may not feel like what you have to give is meaningful. But just consider, this is the ink and the words of one man. One man. One person's obedience reached a multitude of nations, not of Christ himself, but Christ through him. That tells me that I should put no limits on where God is going to use the ministry. And I've learned that I'm going to reach nations. God showed me I'm going to reach nations. He has spoken to my spirit that I should not limit the ministry just to be local, but to operate knowing that the word's going to go forth. And I've been shown, and the Lord has operated and given me the ability to write things on the internet. And I'm reaching realms of the world I could have never flown to, places I've never get to travel in my lifetime. And God is using the means that the world will read to get their attention. There's something that God is birthing out of you that wants to reach way more than just the church that you're going to. He's wanting to reach that you'll hit somebody's heart, that it'll reach their heart, and they'll go after somebody else. And then when it hits them, they'll go after somebody else. That's how God begins to move in a mighty way. It just takes one vessel to be willing. It takes one church just to give it a shot to see how much that God can move. Ephesus was a prosperous port city. They were able to bring in things in and out. A lot of transit, a lot of commerce. They were wealthy. They were a Roman province in the Asia Minor. They were based in international trade with a thriving silversmith guild in a theater. Just think about the LaFollette movies when I say this. A theater that housed up to 20,000 people. And we're talking about in 64 AD. But Paul had begun to face persecution of those silversmiths because they had established temples that were dedicated to, I believe, the goddess Diana. And they didn't want to see what they had built up be torn down. Paul didn't go with a hammer and a crowbar and a chisel and dynamite. He didn't go with a wrecking crew or a demolition team. He went as one man with Christ within him and began to tear down what Ephesus had begun to build up by other means of religion. We're coming up where we're in the Protestant age, but we're erecting many other things that are not of God. You want to know how they're not of God? Because of what lives in the people that go there. If you can't go and feel the presence of God somewhere, then there is a reason to be concerned about the state of that church. And God's looking, man, I feel God. God's looking for some, I'm just going to take my time tonight. God's looking for some Pauls that will get determined in their heart to not have to go and tear the church down literally with a hammer, but to go in by the authority of the Spirit and to begin to tear apart the things that the enemy had meant to build up and draw the eye of the world away from what God really is and what God could do for them. Many of us are in that house arrest and are just looking for an outlet. Well, when the Spirit moves on you, the opportunity is before you. You might have a sermon that you deliver from the seat one day. One of the first times I ever exhorted, it felt like a flood was going to come out of my mouth. And I remember opening up and beginning to say what God had in my spirit. Tears began to come to eyes I'd never seen. People began to rise in ways I never saw. And people had begun to heed to what God was speaking. Then something just blew out of me because I realized that all the songs I'd sung all my life didn't have the real substance that can reach nations. We have many ministries that are out there. Some of them global today, with money, millions and millions upon millions of dollars, and the ability to reach to the highest heights and the deepest depths of this generation. But there's something that is lacking. We're going to get into something that I feel like is one of the signs of end times that we're walking in. And I'm here to tell you right now that if you've not recognized it, God's going to open up your understanding tonight. There was a separation of Jew and Gentile at that time. And we're going to read some of the words that Paul wrote to them. But what I'm going to do tonight is bring it out in a way that applies to us today. Because there is becoming a separation of flesh and spirit that is in the world today. There are people that praise God with their lips, but there's no substance that when people hear it, that they're convicted or drawn by the power that is within them. They'll scream themselves till they fall over. They'll run as hard as they can, but there's something that's missing inside of them, and it takes knowing what God wants to say to understand what you need to tell somebody. We're in this period of separation. It's happening today. In every service that we don't operate in the gifts and callings, we're taking one step further away from the path that we know. Every service that we're idle and stale and still and not moving and being active in the Spirit, we're taking one step away from what God had intended us to do. There's some of us that have drifted to a point where we can just barely faintly hear the voice of God, and then it'll turn us away and get us back to where we'll almost turn back to God, but then we look back at all the things we built up in the world and think to ourselves, I don't want to lose what I've worked for. I don't want to lose my reputation. I don't want to lose my popularity. I don't want to lose my addictions that keep me comforted in my times of pain. I don't want to let go of being able to be complacent. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but we're just a few steps away from saying, Lord, Lord, and him not knowing our voice because we're so far and so faint that nobody can understand what's living inside of you. I bet you didn't expect this tonight. I'm here to be honest with you, I didn't either. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, say enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Lord, help me. And what is the exceeding greatness? Somebody say exceeding greatness of his power to us, or to who? To us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He begins with this letter by opening up in a prayer to them and told them that my goal for you is that you would grow in the wisdom of God and grow in the power of God. Before he even gives them any instruction, he prays over them. And church, that's the first thing we should be praying when we come into the house of God. If you're coming in praying for what you need, then you obviously didn't pray during the week. What we should be praying for when we come in here is that we're anointed with power and anointed with wisdom, that will know the way and that will go the path and will follow God and will be obedient and will make a difference and will do the impossible, because God is the master of the impossible, and nothing is too hard for my God. Nothing is too hard for my God. Devil, get behind us tonight. God's opening up somebody for you to know that God's prayer for you is that you be anointed with the wisdom of his spirit and that you be anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Go with me to chapter 2. I'm going to do this even if the devil tries to tear it apart. Chapter 2, verse 1. What Paul begins to do after his opening prayer to them, now that he has blessed them in prayer, spoke to them in love, he begins to remind them of their previous condition, as in the place they used to be before they were a changed people. And sometimes, church, that's what the Spirit is supposed to do. The Spirit said that it would quicken our mortal body. It will quicken you to be reminded of the times that God has delivered you. And it'll quicken you to be reminded of your darkest days, when the light of day broke forth and you saw how the hand of God reaching out and saying, come on, my child, thou wilt make it, thou wilt find a way, I will provide. What a feeling to know the good news of God. But it's only good if you can hear it. You hear, oh, by faith, and you open your ears by the Spirit of God. For without the Spirit, we're none of His. Without the anointing, you will not hear the word. Even with good intentions, you could get a dictation software and record every word the evangelist says and write it all down. But without the substance to feed you with what you read, it is of none effect to you. We're living in a generation that says, read devotionals and you'll have the Spirit of God. Read this instruction and receive the Spirit of God. But from what I read, the only way to know His exceeding greatness and His power is if we believe. You've got to believe it's yours in order for you to accept it. You've got to believe that the gifts and callings of God are for you. I'm quickened to be reminded that the Word says to be not conformed to this world, to separate yourself, to be ye a separate people. That wasn't meaning separate yourself Gentile from the Jew, but that means separate yourself from that which you know will hinder you. Separate yourself from that which will destroy you. Say no to the things you know that you should reject. Accept the things that you should accept. Everyone in here, before we receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we build up a dam right here. Because the deepest substance of your voice is in your belly. When you go to bed tonight, you try this out. See if I'm wrong. When you're standing up and you're singing, and you sing with all the wind that's in you, it comes from the gut. It comes from within. It uses the full power and extent of the lungs that you have. Now go home when you lay down tonight. Lay down and try to sing something from your back. And it's not as easy. Because there's weight on the lungs. There's something about singing when you're up. There's something about obeying God while you're strong. Some of us are on the mountain tonight and able to lift our hands and say, praise Him. But some of you are in the valley trying to hide from me, trying to hide from the evangelist, trying to hide behind some mask. And I don't know why you do it, because God sees through it even if we don't see it. But sometimes we're hiding, and when we do that, we're causing ourselves to be separate from those things that are spiritual. Because God saw Adam and Eve's sin and iniquity even when they tried to hide themselves, and it's no different today. It's the same representation of how God is omnipresent, and He sees all that we do. So why would we hide? I would will to God that we would get to a place where if we had iniquity, that we'd come running back to an altar of prayer and letting God forgive us for the things we're hiding from. Verse 1 in chapter 2. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Tell me if this doesn't speak to you tonight. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, reflecting on the good times, telling all the bad stories of what we used to do, sitting around and glorying in how we used to be when we were in our 20s. I'm telling you right now, there's some stories that, yeah, you might have made it, you might have survived, but it's not anything to boast about. There's some things that need to be buried along with where you repented, and there's some things that never be made mention. If it's significant to draw somebody, yeah, I say share it, but not every detail is important. You certainly don't share about all the times you got away with it, because you're blaspheming the mercy of God. And if we'd learn this, we wouldn't sit around and look upon the past to build ourselves up. That's the wrong direction for your foundation. He said that he was giving it to us word. That means he's giving it to us, and it's to move forward in God. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Oh, we're about to step on some toes. And we're now by nature the children of what? Wrath. Don't we live in a wicked world today? People see people not able to pay up their groceries when they're standing there and walk right on by. Compassion's dried up, even from those who know God. Because we've been told by so many secular opinions, oh, you can't give to them, they're just going to use it for something else. But I'm here to tell you that God can show you when to give it. If you'll seek him for it, he'll show you exactly where it needs to go. And he'll show you who to bless when they need to be blessed. Sometimes it might be your enemy, but if you'll bless them, God will certainly bless you. Some of us didn't want that part, but I've got to throw it in there. He said, bless those that'll despitefully use you. Bless those. Hallelujah. How are you going to overcome at the workplace? Bless those that despitefully use you. How are you going to grow up and be promoted? Bless those that will despitefully use you. How are you going to grow up in the church world? How are you going to ever get to a place where you can be of authority and of power? Trust in God and bless those that will despitefully use you. Somebody's going through something at your job, and that's your answer. So just thank God for it. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How can we sit in a heavenly place when we live on the earth today? How can we be in a place where we know that if we could just linger in this presence, that if we know that we would be in heaven shortly after? I'm telling you, there's no better place to be than when you finally let go of all the cares and worries of life and enter into the presence of God. And I'm telling you, it's easy when you feel good, but I'm going to challenge somebody that's in the valley. If you can get out of valley praise, then God will give you the strength. If you can get out just one shout, if you can get out just one praise, if you can just take one more step, then you know that God will be with you. If you could just tell him that you love him, if you can show it by standing up and letting God know that he is your all in all. If we honor God the way we should do as individuals, then there wouldn't have to be worship leaders that are paid to coach people how to praise God. There's books you can buy on how to orchestrate the perfect worship, but there's no substance in the method. The substance is from within. There's no substance in the motions. I'm so tired of going through the motions. And Gary, I'm just crazy enough to rebel against the world's model of the motions. I want to be able to support my brethren. I want to be able to come in and praise him the same way every single time. No, it don't have to be a run, jump, and shout every time, but if you'll just give God your whole heart, whether you're up or whether you're down, you'll see a church begin to come into agreement of what? Not the flesh, because the flesh will tell you to sit down, but of the spirit. There are people that are up that need to be praising him right now. And there are people that are down that need you to reach to them and say, rise up and be blessed. As we become more separated to the world, we begin to be only concerned of things which concern us. And forget the whole reason we're delivered. Paul writes to them and doesn't say that you were brought forth out of all of this so that you could walk with a lot of income, of great stature and title, that you could call yourself Dr. Such and Such. Titles don't mean anything. How many times have we heard people tell us a wrong word that leads us the wrong way? The Bible talks about this kind of tongue as a false prophet. They are those who only speak encouragement without instruction. If Paul would have left it at that first part of the letter, they would have been unprepared. They would have still went on in division. So encouragement is not enough. Don't come just so far. The first part, or you could say phase, of the Holy Ghost is what you feel. It's what you feel. Somebody say, it's what I feel. And man, it feels good, does it not? You feel the presence of God. It begins to alleviate any pains in your body, any troubles of the mind, and any heaviness on the heart. How many can attest to that? But as we enter into the feeling of the Holy Ghost, then all of a sudden something takes place, Landon. Something happens. The things that I'm going through, God begins to minister and speak. The first phase is feeling. The second phase is,
I'm going there.
You might have thought I was going to leave it alone, but we're going there. We know how to play the right song to get to the feeling. We'll even be able to dance and enjoy ourselves. But then when the Word of God comes along, we put on the earmuffs. We turn away from the instruction of God. We take advantage that somebody's just going to come in every Friday and every Sunday and preach what's on their heart.
I've been so discouraged at times I was ready to quit. Because in my flesh I looked back and saw so many that just put on the muffs and wasn't listening. And I was grieved because I knew that if they didn't begin to turn and go back to the way, that they were going to fall into destruction. And some of them have done this, and some of them have not been back since we preached some things. Some of them have not returned to God or out in the pit of despair, because when they felt the feeling, they didn't begin to listen to what God had to say. Hallelujah. God wants to encourage you and open up your heart, your mind, soul, body, and spirit. But then He's going to begin to speak to you and try to teach you. It's a life-changing thing. It's a life-changing thing. It'll show you how to talk to people. It'll tell you how to spend your money. It'll show you how to dress. It'll show you how to conduct yourself in the office. It'll teach you how to be a good church member. It'll show you how to tithe. It'll give you the knowledge and how that you ought to obey God.
And some of us can hear God as clear as an audible voice. But then the next phase happens. That which we have felt. And sometimes, haven't you felt the presence of God? It's like a warmth on your body. It's something you can feel externally, and then deep down in your soul, it begins to bubble up out of you. It's something that's external and internal. It's a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. It's everything. But then God begins to speak to you, and then there's this realization that comes to pass, and the free will power of decision comes on you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
We hear God so much, but we fail in doing it. And I'm going to bring this out. If somebody that's got a pen, write this down. When we reach disobedience, this is implying that we have felt God and that we've heard from God, but we quench the action to do something. When you quench the Spirit, you are neglecting the action that God has given you. Sometimes all God's wanting you to do is just close your eyes, get your hands in the air, and give no regard to anybody standing around you. Everybody stand up with me right now. We're going to do that for about 20 seconds. Just close your eyes. Get your hands up in the air.